sir?
Hello, Ewan, is it?
Owen.
Owen, right. Yes. Owen Shure. I have difficulty with Irish names.
That's fine. That's fine. Half the country does. Half the world does.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So, what do you want to know?
Okay, would you like to talk to us about the upcoming festival?
The Cleethorpes gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'll be our second gig. Well, we start gigging at the end of July. First gig is in Horsham, which is down south, and that'll be almost 18 months. This is our last gig, so Cleethorpes will be the second one. Now that's, as I think you probably know, it's to raise a bit of money for the NHS.
Okay.
And there's free admission for all NHS staff.
Yeah.
For the festival. It's an all-day thing. And alongside that, Pete Bond, who is the promoter, is doing a charity album as well.
Okay.
With about 300 or 400 different artists on there, all contributing their various parts, to raise money for an MRI scanner.
Okay.
And I put my part on just the other day for a track of his.
Okay. That sounds all very... No. How long have you been performing with Dr. Feelgood?
With Dr. Feelgood? in September, it'll be 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yes.
It's a long time.
I interviewed Wilco Johnson 3 years ago. He's a lovely man.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did you see him?
He was doing a solo gig in Glasgow, and then I did a phone interview with him after that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for a few years.
Okay.
Our paths don't really cross much, you know, with
me. Yeah, of course. What's it like? Why do you think Dr. Feelgood are as popular now as they were in the 70s?
I'm sorry you're breaking up. Can you ask that one again?
Sure. Why do you think Dr. Feelgood are as popular now as they were in the 70s?
Well, I don't think we are as popular as we were in the 70s. You know, they had a number one album that charted singles in the 70s. But we've kept going because I think despite changes in personnel, the spirit of the band has continued. You know, it's with each change in personnel, you get a different approach to what, you know, say guitar or me as singer. So it's the same but different.
Yeah.
You know, you carry on with this. You do your own thing, but within the spirit of the band. And I think the fact that we go out there and really give 100% for every gig, you know, makes a difference, and people can see that we're given our all.
Yeah.
And we continue to get audiences. I mean, once we start gigging in a couple of months, we're chock-a-block to Christmas, and there's loads of stuff in for next year as well, because obviously lots of stuff's being rescheduled. Yeah.
Mm.
So we'll keep on doing this.
Okay. You're a harmonica player, aren't you?
No, I'm a singer who plays harmonica. There's a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I know harmonica players, and I wouldn't even try to play with them.
Okay.
When I joined the band, I didn't play.
Okay.
It was something that they thought, the others thought I played, but I didn't, and they said, well, can you sort that out? So within weeks, I was on stage playing harmonica, roughing it, basically, so I got the hang of it.
Awesome. Well, I mean, Lee Brillo used to play guitar with the band, didn't he?
Yes, he used to play slide.
Yeah, I think he played slide on Milk and Alcohol.
Back in the night. He played Slide On and one or two other things. Yeah. But that's, yeah, I'm not much of a guitar player. I'm a strummer.
Well, that's
you know
okay.
What I mean.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you think the harmonica is part of the Dr. Feelgood sound?
I think it's an essential component of the sound. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lee Brillo wasn't a virtuoso, and I'm not. But it's what you can contribute to the song within the framework of the song. You know,
mm-hmm.
to make the thing work. And I think for certain songs, they just call out for the harmonica to be there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Paul Weller and the Jam were massive fans of Dr. Feelgood's sound. Do you think Dr. Feelgood influenced the Jam in any way?
Oh, definitely. If you listen to that first Jam album, the influence is there for anybody to, you know, to hear. It's very plain. It's very Dr. Feelgood, that first Jam album.
Yeah.
I think there were other bands as well. I know the Boomtown Rats were big fans.
Oh, great. Sure.
Apparently, when they first started playing, most of what they played was Dr. Feelgood stuff, from what I gather. They had a big influence on that generation of bands because they swam against the tide in the early 70s of long-haired, heavy rock or prog rock, and suddenly here was a band playing R&B like it had been 10 years before with the Stones and the Pretty Things and the Yardbirds and people like that, you know. And there was obviously an audience for it because they started to have, you know, hit singles.
Yeah, they were almost punk in a way.
Well, precursors, yeah. One of the influences on what became punk music, you know, along with all the other names that we know, like Stooges, New York Dolls, whatever. It was a stripped down, quite aggressive form of music.
Yeah, you will be performing at the festival with Big Country. Are you familiar with their music?
Yes. Yes, in fact, when they were having their 15 minutes of fame back in the 80s, you know, they were having chart success. The band I was in at the time supported them. what was then the local polytechnic here in Sunderland.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was a Sunderland accent or a Newcastle accent.
Yes, it's Sunderland.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a difference. You know, you know what it's like with local accents. You can tell the difference between you and somebody 10 miles up the road.
For sure. Yeah. I know that Daniel Craig was told his accent in Our Friends in the North was Sunderland, not Newcastle.
Well, quite a few of the scenes in Our Friends in the North were filmed here in Sunderland.
Okay.
So maybe picked up a few things while I was here.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic show.
Oh, well, I remember enjoying it at the time, but it was so long ago, I can't really remember that much of the details. I know it was about political ambition and the corruption behind the scenes, but it's so long since I've seen it. I remember some very bad weeks. That's one thing I do remember.
Indeed. What is it about, say, the North that brings a certain honesty to rock? Like, Mark Knopfler is a very honest guitar player.
I don't know. I think people in the North are a bit more straightforward, a bit more honest.
Yeah.
Say what you think,
yeah.
What you feel. You know, before I was in Dr. Feelgood, I toured 5 years with a version of The Animals with two of the original members.
Oh wow!
And you know, the animals were in that lineage that, you know, the Dr. Feelgood come out of straightforward British R&B. And, you know, Eric Burdon was a very straightforward, in-your-face kind of singer. And whether it's him or, you know, Brian Johnson in the AC/DC or, whoever, I think there's an honesty that comes from, it's post-industrial now, but when I was growing up, industry was still here. And it's very gritty, down-to-earth people.
Yeah.
And I think that comes across in people's approach to the music, you know.
Yeah, I think
unless you're Brian Ferry. He's also from here.
Brian Ferry's from the north.
He's from Washington, just up the road. He was an art school product, you know.
Yeah.
So he brought all those influences to what he did with Roxy Music.
Yeah. I always assumed he was from London or Kent or one of those areas.
Well, he lost his accent, you see.
Yeah.
Deliberately. A lot of people aren't aware that he's from here.
Oh, okay.
But it's, you know, with people like him, Dave Stewart, yeah. Sting, you know, they're all from around these parts.
Yes, yes. Yeah, in Ireland, I think if you people are a bit unforgiving if you lose your accent. Like, The Edge has developed a New York accent, so he's not well liked.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
So I think people.
Brian Ferry came through art college, and he said I was, you know, I remember reading an interview with him many, many years ago where he said that, I was an artistic type and I liked poetry, and the poetry didn't sound very good in the Geordie accent, so, he did his best to lose it. Well, yeah, you can't imagine Roxy Music with a Geordie accent.
I suppose not, no. I'm also envisioning Bob Geldof doing Dr. Feelgood, run on in milk and alcohol.
Well, the thing is, if the root of your music is American, it would sound daft in an English accent, no matter what your local dialect is, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that. All the music I grew up on was rock and roll and rhythm and blues and blues, and it doesn't sound right if you don't sing it in that kind of mid-Atlantic accent, you know.
No, very true. Yeah, there's that famous story where Paul McCartney's dad said to him, "All right, son, but why not say she loves you? Yes, yes, yes."
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, doesn't
work,
Dad.
Doesn't work, Dad. Yeah. So, are Dr. Feelgood planning on recording another album?
We've already started.
Oh, great.
Yeah, like this, via Zoom. I think there's about 7 or 8 songs. We're about 7 or 8 songs in. So we'll get a few more, and then as soon as we finish it, we'll get it out as soon as we can.
That sounds good, like good fun. Yeah. How does your songwriting approach differ to Lee Brillo's?
Lee Brillo didn't write a lot of stuff. It was mostly Wilco. So I'm not going to make a comparison.
Okay. Okay. That was a tactful answer. Okay, are you self...
I'm not saying we're going to write masterpieces, but it'll be recognised if you don't feel good, you know what I mean?
For sure, for sure.
It's not going to be Sergeant Pepper.
That's all right. I mean, I went to From the Jam, which is Bruce Foxton's band, and the singer, Russell Hastings, he brings his own character, but still sounds like Paul Weller.
Well, that's what you have to do. When I joined the band, I had a lot of people saying, don't you feel intimidated by filling Lee Brillo's shoes, by having to fill Lee Brillo's shoes? And I said, well, prior to this, I was filling Eric Burdon's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the only answer is not be intimidated by it. Just be yourself. And as I said earlier, do it your way, but within the spirit of the band.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bring your own thing to it.
Well, yeah.
You know, when Wilco Johnson left the band, they got in Jimmy Mayo. And he wasn't a Wilco Johnson clone. He played his own way. Mm-hmm. He had his own approach to the guitar, which was different to Wilco's. But it was still Dr. Feelgood, you know. And yeah. It was just, as I said earlier, the same but different.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to do it. And are there any forthcoming gigs you're looking forward to?
All of them.
Okay.
I'm climbing the walls here. It's been a hell of a long layoff.
Mm.
You know, none of us have ever had a layoff like this since we first started. You know, we've all been going since the early 70s.
Oh my God.
And this is, the whole situation for everybody is unprecedented.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been able to continue working. But unfortunately, people in the entertainment industry can't do it, whether you're an actor or a musician, a lighting guy, whatever. You know, we can't do it. So I'm just looking forward to getting back on the road and doing what we're supposed to do.
When I interviewed Bruce Foxton, he said that he hasn't had... that this is his longest layoff since he was 16, and he's about 70. Yeah.
That's pretty much the same for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. So it'll probably be miraculous when you get back on stage.
We're all getting on now. We're all in our 60s, you know. We're gonna have to hit the ground running. So we can still have the same impact. I'm sure after the first gig I'll have a few aches and pains the next morning, because I do a bit of vocal practice most days, you know, half an hour just to keep the wheels turning. But it's not the same as the physicality of a live gig.
No, of course not.
Your whole body's involved. However it is, I'm really looking forward to doing it.
Well, that sounds good.
Can't wait.
Well, I think I have everything I need, Robert. Thank you very much.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Got any plans for the rest of the day?
Me? I've got to go back to some more writing I've got to do, but otherwise, no. I'm in Cork and things are opening up at last.
Oh, you're in Cork? Right, yeah. Has there been any gigs yet? Any kind of socially distanced things?
Not yet. Restaurants have opened up and that sort of thing. But I'd say give it a month or two, we'll be back at gigs.
Yeah. Well, some friends of ours who are neighbours, we've known them 30 years. Their sons are in the Future Heads. Do you know the Future Heads?
No, are they a band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a venue in Gateshead, which is to the side of the river at Newcastle, called the Sage, and they did the first gig back, but it's a big room, but everybody's socially distanced, so we have maybe 25% capacity. But okay. They said it went really well, but the whole feeling of it was quite strange, you know.
Yeah.
No one's allowed to get up. Everybody has to keep 2 meters apart. You've got your allocated seat and you stay there, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a start.
It's a start. Maybe by this time next year, it'll all be a distant memory.
I hope so.
I hope so too. The very best of luck in the forthcoming gigs.
Well, thanks, everyone. And, I hope you've got some new news there, okay?
Indeed.
Okay, right, cheers.
Thank you. Take care.
See you. Ta-ra.